This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I am Freddie Bell. It's a joy to be with you each week. And joining us on the show this week, we have finance information from Mr. Leibel Sternbach. He is on fire. Kathy McClear from AARP Minnesota stops by. And we continue a lesson from Unity South Twin Cities. This is New Beginnings, and our show starts right now. With me is our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He founded Ripple Connects how many years ago, sir?
We're close to 10 years at Ripple Connects.
10
where we
years
turn candidates
ago.
Into contenders by working with them to refine their interviewing skills and their building of their bench of career advocates and just knowing how to talk about their transferable skills to carve out new opportunities in their careers.
Really exciting. And the website is rippleconnects.com. How can we reach you by telephone?
My direct number is 763-438-1621. Glad to be a resource in regards to someone's career.
This week, you want to talk about a page from the book entitled Words to the Wise.
I do. And, you know, I keep that at the ready because I try to look at a page each day and how do I apply it to my own career. And the one that stood out to me was your Words to the Wise. You know, under the title Courage, if you don't ask, you don't get. And I just wanted to know where you're coming from, because sometimes I don't always feel like I'm in a position to ask for what I want. There are times I've been there, but what steps would you take to help me or our listeners today better get ask for what they want?
It's really interesting, and I'm glad you brought it up, because as you mentioned, that's on page 107 of the book Words of the Wise. And the title is Courage. The first thing that I think about is, let's break it apart, is to talk about the word courage. There are some people who are just totally immersed in courage. There's nothing that really gets to them. They're unflappable. And things that might frighten somebody else, these people just go through life undeterred, unmoved, and they're really able to tackle just about anything. And so it's strength. Courage is strength in the face of pain, and it's strength in the face of grief. It's strength in the face of a career setback. It's strength in the face of a loss, even if it's not career. So in doing that, it takes some courage sometimes just to ask a simple question. Joe McKenzie, I'll just ask you, if I didn't tell you or ask you for help, would you give me help?
If I didn't know you needed help, I don't know how I could give you help.
And that's the crux of it.
I would never know. Yeah, you would not be in a position to receive help from me if I didn't know.
And that's the whole thing. Because there are some people who don't have the courage to ask for what they really need. And it's amazing. It's just a simple process. If you don't ask, you don't get anything. And that's what it says in the book on page 107. If you don't ask, you don't get. But it requires a certain degree of courage. And I think there are four types of courage, Joe McKenzie.
Okay.
The first one is empathetic courage. There are some people who see people who are just in pain. They're going through some difficult things, and they are the first ones to leap into action. I think about our first responders. These people, they forget about self, and they just go head on into whatever emergency situation there might be. And then there's disciplined courage. It says, okay, all right, I know this is going to be a difficult situation that I'm embarking upon, but I'm going to go through no matter what it takes to get the job done. That's a disciplined courage. And then there's the intellectual courage. These are the people who are just really, really smart. And they say, based on the facts, based on what I know, based on what I've read, based on my research, we'll execute in this way. And then you have the people who they have the moral courage. This is based on my faith, based on what I believe, based on how I govern my life. And so when you put those four ideas together, the empathetic courage, the disciplined courage, the intellectual courage, and the moral courage, it gives you that power. It gives you that authority to ask for whatever it is that you want. And I guarantee you, as you just mentioned earlier, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's why the book is always at the ready in the McKinsey household, because I've got 3 20-year-olds that are entering their careers. They're having setbacks. They're having to make decisions. We talk about a lot of the things that are there, but it's how do we apply it on a daily basis? And I think it was very helpful for our listeners today, including myself, to know the different, you know, that empathetic, disciplined, intellectual, moral courage that it takes to ultimately ask for what we want versus, you know, the bravado courage that maybe is top of, maybe we think about it as that more than those four that you outlined. And so you've helped bring clarity, but also how can I apply it to my life and how I can help my family, how I can help my clients, how I can help my colleagues, because we're all in that difficult situation where we need to have the right tools to make sure that we're at our best. So the world's better because we're at our best. And that's what I see you doing here with this entire book. But in today's, this segment in itself, if you don't ask, you don't get. What happens if you don't ask and you don't get? What positive outcomes could have happened if you would have just asked for what you want?
That one question. So I'll leave this with you. It's a statement of purpose. I move ahead with a mighty faith to do what is mine to do. Say that once a day for the next several days, and then send me an email, freddie@freddiebell.com, and we can talk about the results. Hey, Joe, we got to leave it right there, sir.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Joining us right now is the State Director for AARP Minnesota, Kathy McLear. Kathy, hello and welcome back to our program.
Hi, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here this weekend. And just recently, you announced the 2022 Community Challenge Grant winners for June. You've had $3.4 million in quick action grants. What does that mean for the people across the communities, across all 50 states?
Sure. Well, AARP has long been committed to making communities stronger and more livable for people of all ages, but particularly for those who are 50 and older. And so for the last 7 years, AARP has been issuing these community challenge grants. And the idea behind them is to create some quick action. So it doesn't have to be a huge infrastructure project. It can be something as small as putting in some park benches or beautifying a park or making it easier for bikers to get around. And really to demonstrate that you don't need a lot of money and you don't need a huge project in order to make a big difference in a community and make the town more livable for its residents.
Interesting. So even right here in Minneapolis, you've had a couple of winners with their projects. Can you outline a couple of those for us?
Right. So all across the country, more than 260 organizations across all 50 states, Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, they've received some of these grants. And Minnesota is really fortunate to have 7 communities who received some of these quick action grants.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in Minneapolis, a couple that are in our area. Working with the city of Minneapolis, giving them some funding to provide some mobility hubs that really can help folks access public transportation. And so it might be improved signage or better seating, and even some kind of public awareness campaigns to help people better understand how to use the transit system in their city. Also working with the Mill City Church in Minneapolis, again, showcasing accessory dwelling units. And so this would be, you know, maybe, you know, some people call them nanny flats for, you know, if you have small children and you need to have a live-in nanny, or mm-hmm. maybe you have a young adult that is having a hard time buying their own home. This is the ability to put a small home or convert a garage into an apartment, something like that, to provide some affordable housing options. So those are two right here in the Twin Cities that are benefiting from this grant.
We're talking with Kathy McClear, State Director for AARP Minnesota, and we're talking about community challenge grants. I was really particularly interested in the Veterans Memorial Park in Vergas.
Yeah, so this is a great project. So it's 3/4 of an acre of a city-owned land, and it's going to be turned into a veterans memorial. And the key where this becomes very, age-friendly and benefits those who are 50-plus is that it will be full ADA compliant. And so making sure that everyone who wants to come honor that area's veterans have the ability to do so in a safe and accessible fashion.
Will you be announcing any more of the completed projects as the year goes on?
So these are quick turn projects. And so we've just announced the winners. We've got some in Duluth, McLeod County. I mentioned the few in Minneapolis, one in Princeton, and then again in the Twin Cities region, and of course, Vergas. They're going to be completing those projects. They have to be done by the end of November.
Okay.
And so that gives us a real opportunity to highlight those projects and programs and showcase what those folks have done with, a seemingly small amount of money in a short amount of time to make their community better for all.
Wow. Where can we learn to learn more about the Community Challenge Grants, Kathy?
Yeah, you can read more about it at aarp.org/MN.
Do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning?
I think these projects really demonstrate how small actions and small steps can make a big difference in a community. Again, it's either, having better lighting on some pathways, beautification of a park area, providing seating on a bike trail or a walkway. It doesn't take a lot to make a community better for people of all ages. And what we like to say is what's good for somebody who's 80 is good for someone who's 8. And so it really is making communities stronger for all ages and stages of life.
So wonderful. Kathy McClear, State Director, AARP Minnesota. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Freddie.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to your financial health in retirement. And with us is Leibel Sternbach. He is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Leibel, hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. And I'm excited to talk about our topic today because I know that it will hit a lot of people right between the eyes. And we're talking about investing for retirement. And that's really a big deal, especially now. So, Leibel, do you think, first of all, that there is such a thing as winning when it comes to investing, and we're talking about investing for retirement?
So, I think when it comes to retirement, I think we need to not think about winning. I think what we need to think about is achieving our goals, right? I think that when we focus on winning or losing, it can be easy. We can easily get caught up in the hype of the market, and we can get caught up in all the noise that's out there that's just screaming for our attention. And what we need to really focus on is what is happening going to help us achieve our goals, or is it going to hurt us? Impede us from achieving our goals. And as long as we're moving in the right direction, as long as we've got a plan, then who cares what's happening in the market, right? Who cares whether somebody is winning or losing? What matters is, what we're looking to accomplish. And will we have a roof over our head, food on the table, be able to splurge on the grandkids?
That's really important. So we're talking with Leibel Sternbach, and we're talking about investing and retirement and so forth. So can you talk about the factors, Leibel, that you think are important if we're not really focused on winning? What factors are important, though, when we're talking about choosing what to invest in for retirement? In an earlier show, you talked about high risk, low reward, people taking on a lot of risk because they've got the time. What should we be thinking about when it comes to investing for retirement right now?
So just to recap what we've said over in previous shows, and I'm going to keep repeating this over and over again. There are two things that we can control when it comes to investments, and those two things will affect everything. And it really is this simple. Anyone who tries to make it more complicated, that is the biggest red flag to you, telling you that they don't understand how the markets work. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what they're doing and that they're buying into the hype in one form or another. And there's hype on both sides. There are people who are very against investing in the markets, and there are people who are, you know, all for it. And you really shouldn't be on either side of those. But the two factors that we can control how much risk we have of losing our money, of our money going to zero. So we can control that. And then we can control how much time are we giving up access to our money. Right. And the more that we give up access to our money, that's also referred to as time horizon. Right. So the longer we can wait for the return on our investment, the greater our chances of return. And the more risk we take on, the greater our chances of return. And those are the only two factors. Right. So if somebody shows you something and they say, and it looks like it has really great returns and really low risk, then either you're giving up time, or it's pretend. And that's just how it is. So when we talk about factors, right, it's how much risk, how much am I risking going to zero? Mm-hmm. How much time am I giving up? And then there's another factor that we need to look at. And this is a non-financial, numerical number. And that's our personal peace of mind, right? Because you could have an investment that does everything that you want it to do, but if it's, you know, going all over the place and it looks like, you know, a heart tracing on, you know, Grey's Anatomy or something, you're not going to be able to sleep at night, right? I don't care who you are, unless you're a psychopath, you aren't going to be able to sleep with those ups and downs. And so you need to create for yourself a consistent system that produces the returns that you need with a risk and volatility being the ups and downs, that is something you can live with. And there are no right or wrong answers of what that should look like or what it takes to do. There are only the math of, you know, risk and time horizon.
So you're tailoring it to meet that individual investor. We're talking with Leibel Sternbach, and we're talking about investing for retirement. So with that as a backdrop, can you talk about what people mean when we hear about you should be diversified?
So diversification is this idea that, and it's mathematics, right? We're talking about math and statistics. So if I own an apple orchard, right? And all of my work and effort and money is tied up in apples. And something were to happen, right? It rains too much. There's a storm, right? My entire net worth can be wiped out. So what I would want to do, right, is I would want to split my money between, let's say, you know, apples and something that would be the complete opposite of apples. Some other type of thing. So let's say real estate, right? If something were to happen to an apple orchard, it probably would not affect the prices of real estate. So now I'm going to split my money between, you know, 50% I'm going to put in apples and 50% I'm going to put in owning apartment buildings. And so if something were to happen to one of those investments, I still have half my money. And what ends up happening is, you know, if one of my investments is up by 10% and one is down by, you know, 5%, well, I'm still up 5%, right? Because of the math that's involved in there. If I'm up 10% on one and down 10% on the other, well, they neutralize each other, and now I have a 0% loss. And that, in its simplest form, is diversification. It's spreading your risk around so that no one thing can hurt you, right? It's the that adage of don't keep all your eggs in one basket. That is what we want to do with diversification. We want to spread our risks out so that if something happens to our one basket, we do not get killed. We do not have to start from zero.
Is there ever a time when diversification is not a smart thing to do?
So there's something called diversification. And I talk about this in depth in my course. But diversification is when you do things that you think are diversifying you, but in reality, you're just concentrating your risk. And so you think that, you know, I have five different types of eggs and five different types of baskets, so therefore I'm protected. But in reality, because of the baskets you've chosen, they actually have a compounding effect, and you really only have two different types of baskets and two types of eggs. Or maybe you even only just have one type of basket and one type of egg, but they're different colors, so you think you're diversified. And the crazy thing about this is that it happens all the time because there is a lack of transparency in the industry. And it's not that the information isn't out there for you to find. It's just not easily accessible. Something I say over and over again is the definition of a profession is that there is a barrier to entry, right? That a Joe Schmo off of the street can't just become an advisor. What do we have? We have a 100-question exam to stop them. But it's just 100 questions. Anyone can pass that. So what do? We call things by a million different names so that it becomes confusing. And it becomes difficult for the average investor to really tell what they're owning. And so you got to be able to know where to look and how to look so that you know, am I actually diversified or do I have something that is actually increasing my risk?
Interesting. So with all these different terms, all the different vehicles that you can use for investment, so how do you determine then what's the right investment for you?
There isn't really a determining the right investment. What it is balancing the factors, right? It's you need to start with the end in mind. So it's what do I need as a return on my money? Because you should have a retirement plan. You should have an idea of what you need your money to grow. And the answer could be as quickly as possible, but you want an answer to that question. And then you work backwards and you're like, okay, what can I invest in that will give me that kind of return? And those are easy numbers to find out, right? We can see what something has historically done. And then you kind of just combine it together, right? You combine high risk things with low risk things and you just balance it out so that the risk that you're taking on is a risk level that you're comfortable with. And it has a high chance of giving you the results that you want. Now, here's the great thing, right? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you probably needed, you know, advanced training to be able to pull something like that off. Nowadays, you can buy a single mutual fund or buy two or three mutual funds, and they will do all the work for you. You just need to know when you go shopping that this is what I'm looking for.
Interesting. Everybody, Leibold Sternbach is with us, and we're talking about investing for retirement. So you talked about the right investment for an individual. Is there a right time for investing for retirement?
Yesterday. Yesterday is always the right time.
Thanks a lot, Leibold. I feel better now.
Yeah. I actually stole that one. Who was it? I think it was Merrill Lynch that's running there, and that's what it is. The best time to invest is yesterday. But that really is the truth, right? It's whenever you invest, right, you want to invest as often as possible and as frequently as possible. When it comes to retirement, what we want to be aware of, right, is not the are we invested or not. It's, are we taking on appropriate investments? Do we have a plan for how we're going to turn our investments into an income stream? When we're working and we're earning money and we can replenish our savings and the market goes down 20%, that's a sale for us, right? We can now invest more money. We're buying it at a lower price. You know, we can take on a side job. We can take on extra hours at work. We can cut back expenses to be able to, you know, weather that 20% correction or that 40% correction. When we get into retirement, or as we get closer to retirement, and we start to liquidate our assets and live off of them, all of a sudden we need to make sure that we have a plan for how we're selling those assets, right? And so the question isn't, you know, when's the best time to invest? The best time to invest is always. The question is how do we make sure that when we're divesting, when we're, you know, selling our assets, that we're selling it in a way that doesn't hurt us long term? Right? Sequence of return, which we've talked about in previous shows, Google it on my website. I've got multiple guides about this, multiple articles. Sequence of return is real right now. When the market is down, you do not want to lock in those losses and accelerate them by taking out money at the same time, because now you're making your money have to work even harder. It's like being in a car going downhill, right? And if you're going downhill and you go slowly downhill, your car is going to have to work even harder to go back up the hill. Whereas if you accelerate when you're going down, you're going to be able to use the, keep that momentum to go back up. And that's really what the stock market is, right? Everyone gets scared when the market is going down and they start putting on the brakes, and you hear people of doing that. Oh, I don't want to take on the risk, right? And it's scary. If you've ever ridden a bicycle down a hill, right? You know, the faster you're going, you start to feel out of control. But anyone who has ridden and not hurt themselves knows that the secret to going downhill is to make sure that you maintain a speed where you maintain control, but maintain that speed so that you go have that going up the mountain, right? Up that hill. Because if you don't maintain that speed, now all of a sudden you're working a million times harder to go back up. And unfortunately, in retirement, we may not have the ability, we may not have the stamina, we may not have the strength to make it up the hill.
Makes a lot of sense. That's Leibel. He's on fire. And if you'd like more information, you can go to yieldsforyou.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Right now, joining us, a very special guest to always keep us on our P's and Q's when it comes to fraud. Please welcome Jay Hoppala, AARP Minnesota. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chantel. Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. AARP and the Fraud Watch Network program helps people protect their money from con artists who've been running full force during the pandemic, even before that, after the pandemic. Now we're here to talk about a new watch that you guys are keeping your eyes on, peer-to-peer payments. So this has to do with, Jay, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, one of some of the very apps we use almost every day. What's going on with this fraudulent activities?
Yeah, that's right. So with AARP's Fraud Watch Network, people can learn about the specific scams that are targeting us right now, but also these underlying, what I call, red flags. And among the top red flags are really, how are the con artists and these scammers wanting their victims to pay them? And in our country, we have really good consumer protections on a lot of our payment methods, like your debit cards and your credit cards. But with technology like PayPal and Venmo and Zelle and Cash App, our regulations really haven't kept up with these new kinds of technology. And these apps are not bad. They're not dangerous to use by themselves, but people just have to understand where their protections are. They're a convenient way to send money to your friends, or even my wife and I, when it's time to pay the bills, we'll use a peer-to-peer payment app to send some money back and forth. But the problem is that when someone makes a fraudulent payment with one of these apps, mm-hmm. Some banks are deciding that the consumer is liable for loss in a different way than if you made a fraudulent payment with your debit card or credit card. So if Congress is looking into the problem, and we might have a solution soon. But in the meantime, people who've been victimized and lost money are having a hard time retrieving that money, and they might not even get it back.
Mm. And that's obviously a big problem because people do trust. I know about mostly I've heard more of this happening with Cash App, where a person did not receive the payment that was sent to them, or someone kept the payment or even decided to take the payment back. So you're saying that these apps are saying that they're not liable if someone uses your app for a fraudulent payment or fraudulent any type of fraud on the app?
Yeah, right. And it's really the banks and the financial institutions that are saying that they shouldn't have to refund the money to the consumer. Not so much about the app, but that's pretty detailed. Let me give you a few examples of how this could work. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're on Facebook and you're scrolling and you see someone is selling some furniture you like. You start interacting with them and talking about how to get this furniture. Mm-hmm. They say you got to make a down payment right away because they have a lot of interested people trying to buy this furniture they have. You follow their instructions, send the money on one of these apps, and then they disappear and they stop returning your messages. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one way a scam like this could happen. Or say you get an email from a friend, they say they're in trouble and they need you to send them some money and they can't talk because their cell phone got stolen. Mm-hmm. And so you send them $200. Later you talk to your friend and they were fine. But instead, it was an imposter who was sending that email from their account. And then one more example of a scam that could work this way. Let's say you get a phone call and it's very threatening. They say that you've gotten in trouble with the police or you missed jury duty and it's too late to pay the fine in a normal way, so you have to pay now with one of these payment apps or the penalties are going to be even worse. And then it turns out it was just an imposter on the phone. So that's how the scammers are using this kind of app. And when someone loses money and they go to their bank to say, hey, this payment was fraud, the bank might say, well, that's on you. It's not our responsibility to refund that money because you authorized the transaction.
Mm. Wow. And we don't think about this on a day-to-day basis when we're using these apps and just, you know, you hope and you wish that you hope that it's going to be someone you can trust or the actual payment is not a fraudulent payment. We're talking to Jay Hoppala, AARP Minnesota, talking about peer-to-peer payments and, you know, involving the apps like PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, and just ways to make sure you're aware of any kind of scams that's happening with these. So the key to avoiding these kinds of losses, Jay, what can we do to stay safe?
Yeah, it really boils down to only dealing with people that you know on and trust with these apps. And it's like, once you get familiar using Venmo or Cash App with your friends, then you're dealing with a stranger and you're comfortable using Cash App, but you might fall into one of these traps. So make sure you're just dealing with people that you know and trust when you're sending money, not just strangers on the internet.
Right.
And it's just like sending an email. If you put the wrong address into one of these apps and send money, you're gonna be losing money by making that kind of a mistake. So just deal with the people you know and trust.
Makes sense to me. Particularly for me, Venmo is a little frustrating because I find that people try to log into your Venmo account quite often. Do you know anything about what that looks like as far as people getting into your account, even though a lot of these apps have really secure ways to keep someone from going into your account? But what is it with people who are trying to get in and maybe they didn't get in? Should you still be concerned and worried about what's going on with your app and your information?
Yeah, so a couple of things related to that. One, like with any online account, especially those that are attached to your bank account, you want to have a strong password on that account and use the multi-factor authentication. So that's probably, Chantel, how you're getting notified that someone mm-hmm. is trying to get into your Venmo account, because you're getting an alert on your phone mm-hmm. telling you that they need more information. Mm-hmm. So here's an example that illustrates what you're talking about. It was actually, there are these scammers in real life who are going around to people in public with this fake emergency and they need to borrow their cell phone to make a call. Mm-hmm. And when they get their hands on the cell phone, they log into Venmo, or they don't. They just click on Venmo, open it up, and they start sending money to themselves through the other person's cell phone. Mm. So, it all comes down to this liability issue of who's liable for those losses. And the scammers know that in a lot of cases, no one's watching that, and no one's going to come trying to investigate them because it's really the consumer on their own who's out that money.
Mm. And the interesting thing about that story, Jay, is that that just happened to me recently. I was somewhere in public and a guy came up to me and asked me if I had any extra money. And I was like, I don't have any cash or whatever. And he literally did say to me, let me get your cell phone. And I was like, whoa, I was like, what? And he kind of joked and laughed about it and walked away. But I didn't know, now that you're telling me that, that's something to be aware of and not let somebody use your phone. That's a tricky one. That, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Stay safe out there.
Wow, man, that's crazy. AARP.org/fraudwatchnetwork is where you can go to find out more information on all scams that are being looked at these days. 877-908-3360. If you have any questions or you would like to report any scams or any fraudulent activity. Always a pleasure, Jay. Thanks so much for joining us and keeping us up to date on all things scam and fraudulent.
Yes, ma'am. Have a nice day.
You too.
In our never-ending effort to find valuable information and insight in all areas, it's time to bring in Cassie Crandall with this week's three things.
Thank you, Freddie. Thing number one this week. Are you hot? I'm hot. Oh my gosh, it's been so hot. It looks like the entire country is having a heat wave, but here in Minnesota, wow, it's tough. But hey, it's summer and we have to make the best of it. Because you know how short summers are here, we cram everything into them. So are you getting out there? Are you getting on the water, doing a little boating or jet skiing or fishing? And then, of course, the state fair is coming up. Lots of stuff to do out there. Make sure you take advantage of the nice weather, although it's hot. And don't forget to get some ice cream. There are lots of small businesses out there that run little ice cream shops. Give them your business. Check out their ice cream. All right, my thing number two this week. Do you ever listen to podcasts? I have to admit, I have yet to listen to a podcast, but I know that there are tons and tons of them out there. And so I really need to start checking some of those out. I've noticed that one of the most popular types of podcast is the kind that talks about true crime. Apparently, a lot of people are truly fascinated with true crime and they really get into it. And in the case of Mysteries Unsolved, they may get into, you know, forming a group and looking at, hey, what are the clues here? What are your thoughts? Maybe we could try to solve this. Interesting. So interesting and so popular is all of this that there's a TV show, a TV series on now with Martin Short and Steve Martin and Selena Gomez about three people that randomly meet in their apartment complex. All three of them are fans of this murder true crime podcast. And there turns out to be, there ends up being a murder in their building. And they set out to check out all the clues and solve it. It's been enjoyable to watch. And I've got to check out those true crime podcasts myself. And lastly, my thing number three this week, I'll leave you with a quote. Strength comes from struggle. When you learn to see your struggles as opportunities to become stronger, better, wiser, then your thinking shifts from, I can't do this, to, I must do this. And that's it for me this week. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
The question before the house is, where did Grandma hide the cash? You can check these spots when cleaning out a house. According to a new AARP book, they say check the toilet tanks. There's room in there for a jar stuffed with jewelry or cash. Also make sure nothing is taped inside the toilet lid. We're trying to help you to find the hidden cash in your home. Look at the freezer, too. Credit cards and gold coins frozen in blocks of ice and plastic zipper bags filled with cash have also been noted to have been found. Look in the pantry. Look inside cereal boxes, flour bags, and coffee cans. We're trying to help you to find the money that Grandma may have stashed. Bookshelves. Check for those hollowed out Bibles and dictionaries that you can buy online. But you also have to shake out every book on the shelf where everything from $100 bills to dividend checks from Fortune 500 companies have been found stashed between the pages. Look under the floorboards too. Check for loose boards under throw rugs, new nails that look out of place, and loose edges around wall-to-wall carpets. Old trunks. Steamer trunks from World War II have special compartments built into them for wives to pack mementos for their husbands. Check under the lining and look for a false bottom. The secret compartment is usually on the right-hand side of the back of the trunk near the bottom. In closets, go through every piece of clothing and every box. Money has been found in shoe boxes and cigar boxes and inside the pockets and linings of old jackets. And finally, check the drawers. Chest of drawers offer unique hiding places. Women's vanities usually have at least one drawer with a false bottom to hide the good jewelry. You can find more information from the book entitled Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff by Matt Paxton with Jordan Michael Smith, published by Portfolio Penguin and AARP. I'm Freddie Bell, and we've got more coming up. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Perhaps you have a challenge in your life, financial affairs, relationships, career situations. Anything, you name it. You can choose to work in the divine pattern and look at this situation that concerns you, even something within you, an uneasy heart, confused mind, and say, let there be light. In other words, acknowledging that all creation, all newness, begins with a declaration of light, of clarity, of consciousness, of awakening. In that, you may ask, what does this situation in my life, this relationship, need? It always needs more light, more clarity, more understanding. Perhaps if your relationships and family or with neighbors or at work are a bit rocky or troubled, declare light for them. And say, in this light, in this awakening, in my willingness to be present to my life, what is needed here? And the creative thought may come to you. More compassion and empathy is needed here. More cooperation is needed here. More creativity of new possibilities is needed here. Let there be light. Let my self-declaration, speaking to my life, my concerns, which of course always includes this church, What will help? What will assist? What will heal? What will take us forward? Let there be light. Let my mind awaken and my heart open to new possibilities. And I promise you, I have no doubt about it. I'll offer you a guarantee. You come to me, and you can't ask for your money back, because I didn't charge you for this service. You come to me and tell me, if you declared light in your life, if you said, I am willing to consciously look at this situation in my life, and if you listen to your heart, you will get direction. I need to practice forgiveness, letting go, here now in my life. And if you practice that, if you give it the old college try, as we used to say, and you don't find any result in time, my father used to say, many healings only come about when you apply a tincture of time. In other words, it takes a little time. And if you don't see some result, some good benefit, I want to know about it. Tell me. You're all scientists of life. I want to know the results of your research. Now, if we had time this morning, we'd go through all 7 days of creation. They're all sequential. They all build upon one another. That's how this physical universe came about. That's how amazing things that are not yet will one day be. Working through this orderly creative process. But it all begins every day, each and every day, for you and your life, with this declaration, let there be light, more and more light in my life. I am willing to look into this radiance, and I am willing to step forward in what my life is calling me to express. More empathy for myself, for others. More justice. And that means the equal operation of life's principles for everyone. It may involve the courts. It may not. We need to start with the essential light. That is the equal application of life's principles for each and every one. The equal application. Those who initiated the idea of America caught that idea. Now, in many ways, the society at that time was not just, not evenly applied to all. But that doesn't mean that we have to discount the great vision they had. That all men, that all people were created equal. With certain rights that couldn't be taken away. Including liberty and the pursuit of happiness to live their life. Well, we got to talk about the rubber on the road. This very weekend, something happened in our society. And it's quite interesting, at least to me. Now, I say to everyone, quite interesting when you have two events, two ideas, two happenings. How do they relate? What's going on between them? There's a great parade downtown and a huge celebration of pride. I am grateful that I exist. I am grateful that all people exist. But our society at times needs balancing. I looked back 40 years when I joined with friends in Kansas City. We got the use of a parking lot not even as big as this room. We set up tables to have Kansas City's first Pride Festival, hoping that maybe a couple of dozen people would show up.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And right now it's time for this week's Words to the Wise. Know your power. Today's Words to the Wise, know your power. If you'd like more insight on Words to the Wise, you can visit FreddieBell.com, also Amazon.com, and also you can find me at BarnesandNoble.com. Well, that's our show for this week, and we have a very special thanks to all of our guests this week, and of course you. We wouldn't have a program without you being there as well. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.